Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you right now. Toll-free number, 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're changing the theme. It's February 1st.
It
is
indeed.
Hard to believe that we've already completed one full month of the year. Boy, time flies, doesn't it?
It does. Happy February to everybody.
Yes, indeed. Well, February is the love month, Valentine's Day coming up, and we're going to talk about relationships. And last month we talked about the foundation that we have in Christ Jesus, who Jesus is, what he's accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection, our new identity as believers in Christ. And the reason we spent some time on that last month is because it is pivotal, critical to the things that we're going to discuss this month. If we don't have a proper foundation in Christ, if we don't know who we are in Christ, then we're going to have a very difficult time getting along with other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've all said this world would just be a great place if it weren't for the people in it. And that's where our troubles come in, is in relationships one with another. The divorce rate is soaring. It seems to continue to rise. Why is that? Because people don't know how to get along. They don't have a solid foundation. And when there is conflict, and inevitably there will be conflict in all relationships, there is yet to be a perfect relationship that's ever been on the planet. Everybody runs into troubles. But how do you deal with those troubles? That's where the rub is. That's where the real answer lies if you want a successful and healthy relationship, figuring out how to deal with conflict. And so today we want to start out with a passage, and I think this is the key to all successful relationship. So this is very important, very critical to learning how to get along one with another. We're going to start in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, starting in verse 15. It says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So if we're going to have successful relationships, we need to understand what the Lord's will is. I know when Gina and I have arguments, she wants her way, I want my way. Well, how do we solve that? Well, when we step back and ask the question, what is the Lord's will in this? And then she is less likely to hang on to what she thinks is important, as far as that situation is concerned, and I'm less likely to hang on. It kind of greases our hands a little bit. We can let go of what we want and step back and realize that what God wants for us in this situation is much better than what we want for ourselves. So what is the Lord's will? And here's what it is. Do not get drunk on wine. Now, it doesn't stop there. There's much more. It says, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he puts an exclamation point on this. He says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Yes.
So there's the key to successful relationships, being filled with the Spirit. So Richard, when you read that passage and it says be filled with the Spirit, what does that mean to you? What have you thought it has meant as you read it before? And now that you really know, what in the world does this mean to us?
Well, there was a time when I was clueless. And then there was a time when I was taught that, well, what it means to be filled by the Holy Spirit is to start prophesying and speaking in tongues and all of those kinds of things. Both of those, I don't have a clue and could care less, and the usual charismania kind of thing, not charismatic, but charismania, didn't read the rest of the passage. It just said, be filled with the Spirit. And then I came to learn that it really just means to be controlled by the Spirit, that God filled us with himself for a purpose, and that is to complete what he started in us. And there are other passages here that explain that.
Yes, indeed. And one of those passages is in Ephesians chapter 3. Mm-hmm. So Paul doesn't write, be filled with the Spirit, without context. There's a context for it. And that context is verse 16 in chapter 3, all the way down to verse 19. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints, or the Lord's people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Mm-hmm. So same exact word, be filled with the Spirit, be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's one and the same.
Yeah.
So if you're filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, you are filled to the measure of an understanding of the height, the depth, the length, and breadth of the love of Christ.
Yes.
Not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge, an experiential knowledge of the love of Christ. So what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? It means to be filled to the measure with the love of God, with an understanding of the love of God. Well, that's the key to successful relationships. That's the key to healthy relationships. We'll unpack that more through the month, what that means to be filled to the measure with the fullness of God, to be filled with the love of God. And we will give some practical ways to express that in those important relationships you have with your mate, with your children, with those that you work with, and those that you fellowship with in church, and those that you just encounter in everyday living.
There's something important that you said at the beginning of this conversation, and I hope people didn't miss it. You said when you and Gina have an issue, that you together ask, what is God's will? You don't tell her this is God's will, and she doesn't tell you this is God's will. It's only when two people are together in the Spirit, controlled by the love of God, that they can have the kind of conversation that you're talking about.
I'm tempted to tell her that this is God's will, but I've learned that's not the right way to go. So this is going to be a fun month for us. And if you have relationship questions, if you want to know how to get along with your mate, your children, whatever it might be, your mom and dad, this is the time. Let's ask those questions. Let's get them out on the table. Let's see what the Word of God has to say. Let's see what the will of God is in all of those relationships. Let's have fun together.
Yeah, let's basic gospel, everybody. Calls beginning to come in already. We'll go to them in just a moment. But, Bob, you mentioned, of course, that February is Valentine's month, and we think that we have something that can be very meaningful for families, particularly during this time, because it's true, and it has been for many years. Marriages and families are under attack. Every day, negative forces work to undermine relationships that are most important to us. What are you as a believer to do? How can you build a strong, authentic relationship in marriage and family life? Well, actually, there's only one way, and Bob alluded to it just a few moments ago. Actually, he didn't allude to it. He came right out and said it. Through the power of Jesus Christ, living in and through you. As declared in Colossians 1:27, it is Christ in you, your hope of glory. In his new series, Inside Out, Marriage and Family, Bob Christopher shows how Jesus works on the inside to give you all the necessary ingredients to enjoy strong, healthy relationships that defy the odds, relationships that are authentic and real. Inside Out, Marriage and Family is now available to you. Just make your gift of Basic Gospel this month, and we will get one on the way to you requested when you make your donation at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Just click the donate link and request your copy of Marriage and Family Inside Out.
Yes, indeed. And I think this is very timely. Just after this election and all the divisiveness that's in this world today, in this country today, a lot of people are having trouble getting along.
Yes.
Just having civil conversations.
Yes.
I mean, politics and all of those things just inflame us inside, and we just can't have a conversation without getting in an argument. So I think what we're going to be talking about this month is coming at the right time.
I think so.
Well, let's go down to Thorndale, Texas, and talk with our friend Clay. Hi, Clay. You're on the air.
Hey, good to be listening to the show. I'm going to stick with the subject. I was going to ask something else, but I like the subject. You know where it says, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I've told some people, I said, you know, well, if you're born again, and I believe I heard Richard say this first, there's no other way to walk but in the Spirit. But as far as relationships with people, and I think this is going to be fun this month, it's hard to be filled with the Spirit in a relationship with another person unless we've first done it individually. And what I mean by that is knowing not only who God is and what Jesus has done to usher in this new covenant, but also of who we have become and what we are as part of that new covenant. So what I'm saying is, if our souls that are at peace as an individual member of the church, it's a whole lot easier to operate corporately with peace to others, including our wives and stuff. So, you know, sometimes the gospel needs to be preached first at home before it goes abroad.
Yeah, I think you're right, Clay. I do a lot of premarital counseling. Richard does a lot of counseling, premarital counseling as well. And one of the things that I tell couples is this, that we as individuals are made up of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And usually at this point I have a sheet of paper in front of me and I draw three circles like a snowman on the left side, and then I copy that on the right side of the paper, and I put their names on each. And I said this top circle represents the spirit. The middle circle represents the soul. The bottom spirit represents the body. And for us as human beings, we have needs that need to be met on all three levels. We have spiritual needs. Well, only God can meet those spiritual needs. We can't fulfill those needs, those spiritual needs, for one another. We have soulish needs. Those are met through these individual relationships we have, and then their bodily needs. We need food. We need water. We need those sort of things. So if we're going to be free, and that's the key question, if we're going to be free to serve our mates in love in marriage, then our spiritual needs, we need to know that they have been fully met in Christ. That's the only thing that can free us to serve one another in love. If I don't know that God loves me unconditionally, if I don't know that I have meaning and purpose to life, I'm going to try to get that through human relationships. And I'm going to try to get my mate to give me what she's incapable of giving me. She can't meet my needs, my spiritual needs. Only Jesus Christ can. So that's why a relationship with Jesus is first and foremost central to every successful, healthy relationship. Even a relationship you might have with a lost person, because you know who you are in Christ, you have confidence. You don't have to be swayed by the opinions of others. Therefore, you can freely love those you come in contact with. So knowing who you are in Christ, knowing who Christ is in you, really is the key to successful relationships. Then you can lean on Him, trust in Him, be filled with His love, and have that love pour out into these relationships you have all throughout your life. Does that make sense, Clay?
I want to encourage anybody, if they don't have that, your identity in Christ, I've got several of them that y'all put out. It's a real good little reference pamphlet to who we've become because of what Jesus has done, and it's your identity in Christ, and it really goes hand in hand with a simple gospel, simply grace, real well.
Well, that's great, Clay. Let's do a field decision right here. Clay is mentioning a little pamphlet we have called Your Identity in Christ. For anyone that would like that, drop me an email, bob@basicgospel.net, bob@basicgospel.net. Simply say, send me the Identity in Christ pamphlet, and we will send one to you. I think we can do it electronically, and we can send you a hard copy. So if you'd like a hard copy, send your address. We'll drop it in the mail to you as soon as we can. Again, write to me via email, bob@basicgospel.net.
I like battlefield decisions.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I do, too. Sometimes the staff doesn't because it gets them off guard. But since we're doing this via email, it's going to be much simpler.
Yeah.
So if you would like that pamphlet that Clay is talking about, your identity in Christ, write to me right now, bob@basicgospel.net.
Good mention, Clay. Thanks for doing that.
God bless y'all.
Hey, you too, Clay. Well, let's go to San Francisco, California, and talk to Ray. Hi, Ray.
Hey, how's it going, Bob?
Doing well. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, I appreciate it. I got your guys' book and stuff, The Simple Gospel, Simple Grace. So
excellent.
I'm gonna start reading that.
Well, excellent. Please let me know what you think after you read it.
Yeah. Yeah, you got your picture of you in the back there. I haven't seen you for a while. So.
Yeah. I'm a good-looking guy, aren't I? I keep telling myself that every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess we're not terrible, I guess. You know.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, Ray, what's on your mind today?
Well, I wanted to ask, I've several years when I've been, I was raised in the church and stuff, naturally some things were, were off and stuff. And when I heard you guys too, that's really when I started, checking more and more about, the simplicity of the gospel. And it still seems, Bob, I don't know, I met you guys in 05, but how come there's only 2 or 3% that still are teaching? I don't know. It makes me feel like a lot of times I'm not saved. They'll say, well, your spirit's totally saved, but you still got to – I understand the confession of sin. If I mess up, I say, God, I'm sorry, that was sin. Okay, I have no problem with that because the Bible says that. But they'll throw in, you have to say, and please forgive me. Well, if there's ever a point, am I right or not, Bob, that I'm not totally saved, then how am I in the family? Because it says you pass from death to life, and if I have to get forgiveness again, I don't understand why they keep saying that. And there's even guys that preach the truth until they get to that part. It just throws me where I feel like sometimes I don't even know will we even want to go there anymore because my head spins.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, wow, I'm in and out. I'm in and out.
Well, it is one of the most misunderstood truths as far as the gospel is concerned. Most folks will say when asked what is the gospel, they'll explain it this way, that Christ died for my sin so that I can go to heaven when I die. And yet they don't understand what it means that Christ died for their sins. Well, Peter explained it this way to Cornelius and his entire household at Caesarea by the sea. He said this, all the prophets testify about him, Jesus, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So as Peter was explaining that, all of that household, Cornelius believed, and the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to them. And when they received that gift of new life, they received forgiveness of sins. Now, they received the whole package of forgiveness. It wasn't just a deposit of forgiveness with the promise that future sins will be forgiven as they're confessed and repented of.
Yeah.
He gave them the whole package of forgiveness. So at that moment, that crowd in Cornelius's household who had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who had received the Lord Jesus Christ, stood before him as forgiven people. They were totally forgiven, not one sin left unpunished. The same is true for you. The same is true for me. And like I said, it's the most misunderstood truth, I think, that's a part of this gospel message. And once we get that right, then everything else falls into place. Now, it would be impossible for God to make us alive in Christ if our sins had not been totally forgiven. It would be impossible for God to make us alive in Christ if he didn't declare us righteous in the sight of God. So the fact that we've been made alive in Christ, the fact that we've been declared righteous in the sight of God, the fact that Jesus has come to live inside of us, those are three things, three true things of every believer, but they're also proof. They're the evidence that all sins have been forgiven once and for all. We need to settle that. We need to rest in that. We need to stake our lives on that truth that I am a forgiven person. If my sins weren't totally forgiven, man, I would be toast just like everybody else would. But the fact that Jesus shed his blood once and for all.
Yeah, you can't have half. I mean, am I right or wrong? I just asked you real quick. Why they you know, even the good ministers are saying it's an ongoing process. Forgiveness is ongoing. Well, how if it was finished or done, how? What do they mean ongoing?
There's no passage in the Word of God that would lead to that.
I hear that all the time.
Yeah. Well, and the reason they say that is because we constantly sin, and they can't wrap their minds around the fact that God's already done something about that sin. So you sin today, well, God's already done something about it. He's already made a judgment about that sin. And that judgment was wrapped up in the shed blood of Jesus. It's already been dealt with. You sin tomorrow. Well, guess what? God's already made a judgment about that one too. He's already condemned it. He's already punished it. All of that was wrapped up in Jesus. So there's no punishment left for you. So you stand at any point in time on that time continuum as a forgiven person in Christ Jesus. That is the good news. So, Ray, there might be...
Is it normal, Bob? Just, I understand that part, but to say, God, you know, I knew I blew it, that was dumb, or even say what it was, but yet when I do it, just like you were saying, I don't say, please forgive me, because I believe I am, but to say acknowledge that was dumb or stupid or that was sin.
Well, the last point.
That's fine, right? The Bible does say that.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. You're in relationship with God. You're going to walk in truth. Yeah. You're going to admit to the truth because that's just who you are as a believer. You're walking in the light. You're walking in the truth. So you can see what sin is. You can see what those acts are all about. And you're going to talk to the Lord about that. But he's going to talk to you about it and say, guess what? The blood of Jesus has already taken that away. And as you hear that again and again, your heart is just going to overflow with thankfulness. If we needed more forgiveness, Christ would have to die again, because the Bible is very clear, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So if Christ's death 2,000 years ago just took away some of our sins, and there's more in the future that will need to be forgiven, then Christ is going to have to die for those. So he's going to have to die again and again and again. Well, he's not going to do that. He died once. He died for all sin, for all time. We can rejoice and say, thank you, Jesus, that in you I am a forgiven person. Well, Ray, we're out of time. We sure appreciate your question today. Thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate everyone who calls to be a part of this broadcast and this program that we call Basic Gospel. And if you have a question that you'd like to pose and can't get to us while we're actually on the air during the 3 o'clock hour Central Time, Monday through Thursday, we encourage you to call that regular number, 844-322-2742. You can do that anytime, day or night. You can record your question. Short of that, you can go to our website, basicgospel.net, add a slash and the word ask, and you can pose your question there as well. Again, that's basicgospel.net/ask. Well, friends, you know, there's a 2-CD series that Bob Christopher has just produced. It could be very, very helpful in your marriage and in your home, and we especially want to offer it to you at this Valentine's time. It's called Inside Out Marriage and Family, and it'll show you as a believer in Christ Jesus how to build strong and authentic relationships in your marriage and family life. Few things are better than spiritual and heartfelt unity in our homes, and we think this would be a great Valentine's gift for your entire family. Inside Out Marriage and Family is available to you with your gift this month to Basic Gospel. For your copy of this most informative CD series, Inside Out Marriage and Family, request it when you make your gift to Basic Gospel. Again, simply click donate at basicgospel.net. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for this edition, everybody. Again, if you have a question, give us a call overnight, 844-322-2742. We'd love to address it on tomorrow's edition of Basic Gospel. Well, thanks for being with us for this one, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, Bob Davis, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.